Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading. You may be seated. The most interesting road is often the one that follows an unfamiliar path. The most exciting journey is the one that splits off in an unexpected direction. Alice falling into the rabbit hole, or Lucy passing through the wardrobe into Narnia, or maybe Joseph sold into servitude, or Jonah fleeing from the call of God. The most intriguing stories often begin with events for which the actors are simply unprepared, such as life. Rarely does life follow a map. Rarely does reality stay within the boundaries that we build. And yet for authors, from C.S. Lewis to Lewis Carroll to the scriptures themselves, such interruptions are when the real story begins. Such interruptions are the beginning of something new, something unprecedented. St. Luke the Evangelist expresses, I think, this same truth in the gospel that bears his name. Luke begins his gospel in a very familiar setting, recording a very normal event following a well-worn path. Luke begins with an Old Testament priest named Zechariah entering the temple. It is difficult to draw a more routine scene than this one. Luke begins his gospel with this familiar liturgy of incense, a liturgy that had been followed for more than 1,000 years. However, as you surely remember, this particular liturgy of incense does not exactly follow the proper rubrics. Zechariah's entrance into the sanctuary goes in an unexpected direction. The priest service is interrupted, even rudely interrupted, by the angel Gabriel, by the announcement of John's birth, by the promise that John will prepare the way of the Lord. And so St. Luke begins his gospel with this unexpected drama. The people of God, writes Luke, were waiting for Zechariah, and they wondered at his delay in the temple. The people of God are there outside the sanctuary. They stand there in expectation, and they anticipate two things: the smell of incense to fill the air around them, and finally the sound of the benediction to finally enter into their ears. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And yet, while Zechariah can begin the liturgy, he is unable to bring it to its proper end in this benediction of peace. Because he doubts the words of the angel, Zechariah is rendered dumb. The priest stands there unable to speak the prayers, unable to bless, unable to promise peace. Luke begins with this Old Testament liturgy, and yet it is a liturgy that remains without smell, without sound, without benediction, without peace. The sacrifice of incense remains incomplete. And now in our gospel reading for today, we witness another normal, familiar, even routine event: a mother giving birth to her child. Now the time came for Elizabeth to be delivered, and she gave birth to a son. There is nothing more fundamental to the human race than mothers giving birth to children. This liturgy of procreation is an ongoing liturgy in which all participate in one way or another, either as father, mother, or child. Even those who would repudiate this liturgy in our own day remain utterly dependent on its life-giving power. The human genealogy, in which life and familial identity are now passed over from father to child, is a sacred rite in which the human race lives and moves and has its being. And yet, as with the liturgy in the temple, So now this liturgy of procreation is interrupted by an unexpected drama. The very same people who were outside the temple sanctuary waiting for the smell of incense and the sound of the benediction are now present on this day of circumcision, expecting a newborn son to be named after his father. Indeed, surely this is the normal rubric for the liturgy of a nativity. In this living rite, everything moves from father to son. Sons are named after their fathers because a father is the very fountain in which the son's own flesh, his character, his identity, his very life have their origin. And thus a child always, in some sense, bears the name of his father. Yet this liturgy of nativity from the very beginning has been corrupted. In this liturgy, there is darkness, for through this liturgy, sons also receive the corruption and the sin and the slavery and the death that lives in their fathers. From dust you were taken, and to dust you will return. Adam is indeed our father. His path into the earth is now our path, and so our birth from his flesh is but the introit that begins a relentless procession toward the grave. And yet in this liturgy of John's birth, something unexpected now happens. Zechariah's son receives a new name. It is an unprecedented name, a name unlike his father's name, a name that belongs to none of his kindred. And yet despite the protests of the family, Elizabeth and Zechariah leave no room for doubt. His name is John. And with this new name, John becomes a sign of a new liturgy that follows an unprecedented path toward an utterly new destiny. Indeed, the power of this new name is seen in its great effect upon John's father. While normally the father is the source of life for his son, here the naming of John becomes a kind of new birth, even a regeneration for this old priest Zechariah. For at the naming of his son, Zechariah's mouth is finally opened and his tongue is loosed. The Old Testament priest now begins to speak new things. Now, finally, the Old Testament priest will speak his benediction. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And yet the benediction he speaks is new and unprecedented. Instead of the future, Zechariah now speaks of the present. Instead of longing for the Lord's face to shine, he rejoices in the Lord's visitation and redemption of his people. Instead of promising a future peace, he now recognizes his own son as the one to prepare the way, to guide our feet, Zechariah says, into the way of peace. This little word, peace, the last word of the priestly benediction, and now also the last word of Zechariah's Benedictus. And yet no longer is this peace a future hope. It is even now upon us. The birth of John is the opening hymn that now begins the liturgy of true peace. It is the introit that commences the procession toward an utterly new destiny, a procession into the blessed peace that passes all understanding. Dear friends, surely you've already anticipated where this road leads. For St. Luke, Jesus himself, laid in a manger and hung from a cross, is the very divine and blessed peace prophesied by Zechariah and prepared for by John. At Jesus' birth, the angels praise him as the embodiment of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And at his entry into Jerusalem, the people will sing, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And so Christ himself is peace on earth and peace in heaven. By his virgin birth and his holy passion, the sacrificial liturgy begun in Zechariah and the priests of old now finally comes to its blessed fulfillment. Indeed, it is in the ascension of our Lord that this ancient liturgy of peace is finally perfected. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, writes the evangelist, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Here, St. Luke joins the end to the beginning, the very benediction that Zechariah was unable to speak now finally sounds forth from Jesus' own lips. The new and unprecedented way that John prepared has now finally reached its destiny. John's birth signified the beginning of something new. John's angelic naming prophesied the inauguration of an unprecedented path. This newness filled the people of old with wonder. It filled the hill country of Judea with rumors and gossip, so that all began to ask the question, what will this child be? And yet, dear friends, we rejoice, because this wondering and questioning have now forever been answered for us in the flesh and blood of Jesus. In his blood, the liturgy of incense finally reaches its true end. In his flesh, the way of peace prepared by John, the new and unprecedented path, reaches its glorious conclusion, even here at the altar. The very same flesh that was laid in a manger, nailed to the cross, wrapped in burial cloths, risen from the dead, has now entered the true sanctuary made without human hands. His blood poured out on the cross now dwells beyond the veil, beyond the cloud, as the eternal atonement for mankind. His body has ascended as the perfect incense that now forever dwells before the face of our Father. And so here, like Zechariah, we must go dumb, for words cannot express the depth of this mystery. The most interesting road is often the one that follows an unfamiliar path. The most exciting journey is the one that splits off in an unexpected direction. And now here at this altar, our liturgy takes us into a new and unprecedented direction. No longer, dear friends, are we left standing outside the sanctuary, waiting for the Old Testament priest to fulfill his service, waiting for the voice of benediction, waiting for children to again be named after their dying fathers. Rather, here we find a place within the body of Christ, a better place than that of Moses or Aaron, Zechariah, or any of the priests of old. Indeed, here we witness a new kind of nativity. This sanctuary is now our womb, where we leap together with John, rejoicing in our own regeneration as the children of God. And at this table, our eyes behold our salvation, so that we can now depart in true peace. Yes, the true peace prophesied by the priests of old, but now finally fulfilled in the liturgy of our great high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be all the glory forever and ever.